Last week, we looked at the two witnesses of the book of Revelation, and their witness will be in the first half of the seven-year tribulation. We're going to look at some other witnesses that are just as powerful. Hallelujah. We're going to begin in Revelation chapter 7. God is going to have witness in the last hour, in the last days, like no other time. Now, these witnesses, you might have heard about this, the 144,000. I want to look at their true ministry, the true life of these 144,000, what they're going to endure, but what they're going to do, because they are going to be responsible for one of the, if not the greatest harvest of souls the world has ever seen in the history of the world. More people are going to be born again in these coming years than any other time in history. This world's going to get harvested. The church is going to have her harvest. God's coming for his church. Always remember, you're not appointed for wrath. Amen. But God, during this time, is going to have his witnesses in the earth. And there's going to be a harvest. We're going to look into this today. So we're going to begin in Revelation chapter 7. Revelation 7 is the first mention of the eyewitnesses. The 144,000. Verse 1, it said, "So after these things I saw four angels standing in the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, and the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God." Now this angel was carrying a seal, and he's going to seal some people. Now during this time, it's just the very beginning of the seven-year tribulation. Now, during this 7 years, Israel, there's going to be war and famine. There's going to be all manner of evil poured out upon the world. But the church is not going to be here. That is the way I believe it. And I'm going to share with that more in the next couple of weeks, or stand on that, and why I believe we are going to be removed before the 7 years. There's a whole lot of evidence in the Word that supports that. But God's going to have his witness. During this time is a time where the world will be appointed to wrath, and you don't want to be here. And so there's this angel that's going to come down before these seals are loosed. He has a very special seal in his hand, and there's going to be wrath and seals that are going to be released. There's going to be bowl judgments, seal judgments. There's going to be woe judgments. There's a lot of things going on. You don't want to be a part of it. You don't even want to be anywhere around. In fact, it says that men will cry out to be removed from the earth during that time. And it says this angel has this seal, and verse 3, and he says, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees." Now before all these judgments get loosed upon the earth, he says, "Till we have sealed," listen to this, "the servants of our God." Now that word "servants" is a very special word. It actually means bond servant. It's what Paul called himself, a bond servant of the Lord. These were very special people. They're in a very special time. They're going to get sealed. If you see this, it says, "Till we have sealed the servant of God." Now this seal had many things in it, but they were actually going to get sealed. Now I heard the number of them which were sealed, verse 4 said, and they were sealed 144,000, very specifically of the tribes of Israel. And if you go on to read the next verses from 5 through 8, 12,000, and I don't believe that that's an arbitrary number. I believe that is very specific in God's plan. 12,000 from 12 different tribes. So you have 12,000 times 12, 144,000. How many apostles did he start with? 12. Amen. Hallelujah. Now he's calling 12,000 from 12 tribes. And these are going to be God's end time evangelists. But they're in a time where the world is being appointed to wrath. And because the world's being appointed to wrath, these get a very special seal. They get sealed in their forehead. And they're appointed to God. And everybody knows they're sealed. Now, why is that? Because in the last 3.5 years of the 7 year tribulation, the devil is also going to be sealing people in their wrists and their forehead. How many of you ever heard of the infamous number of the beast? That is actually a mark that goes upon people's forehead. It goes in their wrist or forehead, and it means if you take it, it's done. It's going to be very difficult not to take that mark during that time, because the Bible says very specifically, you will not be able to buy, you will not be able to sell, you will not be able to engage in commerce. And in fact, the Antichrist will make sure, he demands people take the mark. And it's more than just the mark to buy and sell. It's more of a mark of a commerce. It's a time where you bow your knee and acknowledge him as God. And he enforces it in the final 3.5 years. Now, during this time, there's no other evangelists on the earth but these 144,000. So they get a special seal on their forehead, and everywhere they go, they know they're marked by God. This seal is a seal of ownership. It's a seal of protection. And it's a seal of God's glory. A seal of witness that says, I am God's witness. Now, there's 12,000 times 12, very specific number that only God could call. Where did they come from? It's my belief that the two witnesses we spoke of last week that had the power of fire, had power at will to turn rivers to blood, had power to shut up the heavens, to release plagues. They had power to do this in the first 3.5 years. Power at will, the Bible says. I believe one of their callings was to prepare these 144,000. Because the 144,000, they get sealed because this is the first 3.5 years. It hadn't got heavy yet. But in the last 3.5 years, something's going to happen. There's a 7-year tribulation. People, this is going to happen. This is your first time in church. It's going to happen. What's going to mark that 7.5 years? The Antichrist will emerge as a world leader. He will. The Bible's very clear about it. And he is going to broker a peace treaty with Israel, and at least the Palestinians and maybe all the Arab nations. There'll be a 7-year treaty. That is going to happen. All the world's eyes are on Israel, and they will stay on Israel. And that peace treaty is signed. When that is signed, everything is marked specifically at that point. Things are going to be marked by specific days, specific months. There's going to be 2 3.5-year periods. In exactly 3.5 years, exactly 42 months, in exactly 1260 days, exactly what the Bible calls a time, times, and half a time. A time is a year, times is 2 years, and half a time, 3.5 years. Or it's marked by 42 months, or it's marked by 1260 days. Whenever you see these times mentioned in the Bible, they are referencing either the first half or the second half. Now, in that second half, something's going to happen, and right through the middle of 3.5 years, the Antichrist is going to turn on that peace treaty. He's going to walk right in the middle of the temple in Jerusalem. He's going to declare himself God. And from that point, he's going to make, now why is this important? I'll tell you in a minute. He is going to make the world. He's going to enforce the world to worship him, and he'll enforce the mark of the beast. Now, I'm going to show you something you might not have ever seen. Go to Revelation chapter 12. This is going to happen right here. Revelation 12 and 13 is midway point. But we're going to look at the good side. But I got to show you the bad side so you show the good. See, these 144 have a special purpose. It's 144 in the first half. In the second half, their ministry begins. During the greatest time, the most awful time, the most dreadfully awful time, there is nothing like those final 3.5 years. Everything will culminate during that time. You better know him. He's coming back for a lamb that's serving him. Those with their lights bright and shining. You can't be having 1 foot over there in the world and 1 foot over there with God. No, sir. He's coming back for those who love him, that are looking for him. They're expecting him. Amen. But he's going to release his glory upon his church before he takes her out. I do not believe this church will be taken out as a weak, destitute church. I believe the apostolic office will be fully restored. The power of God will be fully restored. The church will have her witness before she's taken out. And then there's going to be the final witness. Now I'm going to get into these 144,000 because they are going to be eyewitnesses. A lot that happens in chapter 12 and 13. It's midway point. You can write in your Bible, chapter 12 and 13 is midway point. Let me show you something that happens that's very powerful. Chapter 12, verse 7. There was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought it and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. Now, The devil and his angels do not occupy in the third heaven. They occupy in the second heaven. Most of you that know a few things about God, they have, the Bible calls them the prince of the power of the air. There's a second heaven, and that's where they control things and evil of this world. Well, God's going to empty the second heaven out in 3.5 years into the tribulation. I mean, they're all going to, they're getting ready for their final judgment. And the first thing that happens is they all get thrown down. That's a good thing. Now watch what happens. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out. The old serpent called the devil and Satan, same guy, and deceiver the whole world. He was cast out in the earth. Look at that. Cast out in the earth. Again, you don't want to be here. You think it's bad serving now. You think going through what you're going through now, the devil and his angels get cast down to the earth during this time. They are on the earth now. Look at verse 12. It says, therefore rejoice, you heavens, you that dwell in them. Whoa, look at this. To the inhabitants of the earth. And see, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. This is where he actually indwells the Antichrist. Antichrist will be a world leader. The Antichrist is not the devil. He's just going to act like him. He is like the devil because he's a very evil man, but he's a man. But this time, the devil's going to indwell him. When he's cast down, the devil's going to step up into him. And that's when everything starts to happen. Now, this time is where all manner of evil will be unleashed and released. It goes on to say that Israel will then flee to the mountains for 1260 days, 3.5 years. She will flee. But this is also the time. Now, the reason I'm telling you this morning, because this is also the time God is going to establish his witness. Don't lose sight of the purpose of this message. It's not just to go up into the book of Revelations. It's the fact that God's reestablishing the eyewitness. He did it with a two. I'm going to show you, he's going to appear before the 144,000, the Lord is, and he's going to give them the eyewitness, and that's going to be their witness in the final 3.5 years, and they are going to reap the greatest harvest of souls ever. Hallelujah. But it's going to be in a time of the greatest evil. But God did not appoint them the wrath, so he marks them and seals them and protects them. This is a time when the devil himself has been cast down into the earth. His angels have been cast down into the earth. In chapter 13, you'll see the Antichrist and the false prophet get together and they establish the mark of the beast and they command and demand. See, the devil demands worship. He's going to get what he wants for 3.5 years. He's always wanted man to worship him ever since he was Lucifer, ever since he was in charge. But you know what he did before his fall? He was of the archangels. He was in line with Michael and Gabriel, and he led the worship of heaven. That's what he did. Well, what happened? He just wanted all that for himself. And pride entered his heart, and when God cast him down, see, he's always wanted man to worship him. Whether it's his system, that's what he wants, and he's going to get what he wants. 3.5 years, when the Antichrist and the devil's indwelling him, he's going to walk in that temple, declare himself God. Then he's going to enforce people. You'll read about this in chapter 13. He'll force people to take that mark upon their forehead, and they will be marked. It'll be some type of mark, and it'll be upon their forehead. He'll force them to do it. If they don't, they'll get beheaded. They won't be able to buy or sell. It's not going to be like you've seen church. You know, whether you should go to church or not, you won't even be able to live in a system that he'll create and enforce without taking that. And this is a very important part. I want to just go to chapter 13 for 1 minute before I jump in. Revelations 13, just for a minute, I want you to look at this. Because this is a very important part of the message these 144,000 are going to carry. It's going to be different than it is now. Because during this time, it's going to be about what mark you have. And who you have. Because once that mark, it's an enforced mark. And you need to understand that. Revelation chapter 13, verse 11. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb and spake as a dragon. Now this is a false prophet. He'll be able to do miracles and all kinds of things. Verse 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. And the image of the beast should speak and cause that many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, this is important because this is going to be part of what the 144,000 are going to actually preach during this final 3.5 years. Now watch this. Verse 16, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now he's going to enforce this as it goes along. Him, the false prophet, they're going to enforce that mark upon all the nations of the world. And if they don't take it, you cannot buy, you cannot sell, and most of them are going to get beheaded. That is just the way it is. You have to understand it's going to be different, but final 3.5 years, during this final 3.5 years, it's which mark you're bearing. When you walk around, people will have this mark that'll be visibly seen. If you don't have it, it's not going to be persecution. It's going to be life or death. You understand that? So God, what he's going to do is raise up these 144,000. They're Jews. It says they come out of the tribe of Israel, but he marks them on their forehead. But he seals them with protection. He seals them with his ownership and his name. And now he's about to ordain them. And he's going to release them into a harvest field. And their message is going to be powerful. Now go to Revelation 14. Now, same 144,000. Now we've moved from the first 3.5 where they were being prepared and sealed. Now this is right after midway point. It's right after the establishment. Now God is going to call them up and he's going to publicly ordain them. Now watch this. Let me read it and then I'll start commenting on it. Amen. Revelation 14:1. Now many times you start reading this, you think these guys are in heaven, but I'm going to tell you they're not. If they were in heaven, God would have no witness. If you'll read this whole chapter, what's happening here, they are not in heaven. Revelation 14:1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written, where? Now it says what the seal is. The Father writes his name upon their forehead. Wow. He's marked them. He's written his name upon them. He's given them a job to do that no other evangelist has ever done in the history of the world, at a time where the whole world is appointed to wrath. They have to live in the midst of that wrath, but the wrath is not going to touch them. But they're going to be God's evangelists in the middle of the wrath, and they will be Jews. 12,000 of 12 tribes, very specific. Isn't God good? Even to the final days, he's going to outstretch his hand of love. In the midst of the greatest evil of the world, he's still going to stretch his hand of love out and said, you still have a chance. That's powerful. Even when the families, our families, they just won't listen, just won't listen, just won't listen. At a time and say, and you're lifted out of here. Say, we're going to be lifted out of here and you're gone. They said, I missed it. They didn't miss it. They still have a chance. The two witnesses, first half of the 3.5 years, they're going to be global. I mean, media is going to cover them. It's very clear, the Bible says. But these final 144, wow, what they're going to do in 3.5 years is unreal. It's powerful. Let's look into it. Now look what's happened. They looked and behold, a lamb stood on Mount Zion. And with him 144,000, having his father's name, and I heard a voice from heaven. Notice where John, he looks on Mount Zion. See that? They're standing where? Mount Zion. Then he hears a voice from heaven. So he's not standing in heaven, he hears a voice from heaven. These men are standing on Mount Zion, getting ready to be ordained of God, to be released into this final 3.5 years. They're standing on that mountain, ready to be released. Isn't that glorious? And the Lord himself, what does he do? Appear before him, just like he did his 12 apostles before he sent them out. We've been in the middle of what? The series on the corporate eyewitness. He appears before his 12 apostles in a resurrected state. He says, you're going to be my witnesses. Well, here he is again, standing on the mountain with them and appearing before them. 144,000 see him, marked with the Father's name, and they're about to get ordained to be released into the harvest field. This is a public ordination. I'll show it to you. He said, I heard a voice. Actually, it was a sound. He's standing on the earth, looking at him on the earth. And then John sees him, and then he says, I hear the sound from heaven. See, here's a sound. Some of your translations will read sound. It's a better translation than voice. As a sound of many waters, as a sound of great thunder. And he said, I heard a voice of harpers harping with their harps. So John looks at these 144,000 on this mountain, and the Lord's appearing before them. It's his midway point. I mean, it's right after the devil gets thrown down the earth and says, look, boys, you're in the greatest time of human history right here. It's the final 3.5 years, and you are my evangelist. You're going to walk through things nobody walked through. Boils and fire. The Bible says the entire seas will be dried up with blood, and the fish of the sea will die during this time. A third of mankind will be wiped out, and one more. Just crazy stuff. They'll be standing in the midst of it. And the Lord's, he's getting them ready. Getting them ready to get released. And so John hears this sound like thunder. Like these many waters come out of heaven, and he's looking up, and he's hearing all this. And the sound of harper in verse 3, and they sang, this voice from heaven, we're singing a song before the throne, before four beasts, before the elders. And the beasts, they're all at the throne. It was like a heavenly choir singing a song that nobody on earth but these 144,000 could learn. And they were learning it. It's like they were standing on earth, the Lord's with them, and heaven opens, and they're hearing this song of this heavenly choir. And this heavenly choir is teaching these 144,000, because it's going to be the song that God puts in their heart. Listen, when you have that kind of evil, you're going to have a song in your heart. And God the Father himself grants them a song from a heavenly choir. They're going to learn that song. It says, no man could learn that was upon the earth. No man could learn that song but the 144,000 that were redeemed. When it says redeemed from the earth, he's going to tell you what that means in the next verse. They were hearing this song and learning. How'd you like to learn a song from a heavenly choir? People, let me tell you, the Bible will always be true. If you don't want to be on the earth at this time, you do not. And these are they, verse 4, which were not defiled with women. They were virgins. 144,000 called out of Israel for a job to do. Sealed and marked by God. Eyewitnesses. Standing with the Lord in a resurrected state, going to be eyewitnesses, and they're going to preach to the world. Wow. Look at this. And they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Let me ask you a question. If they were in heaven, where would they be following him? Everybody in heaven will be set down during this time watching the events of the world unfold. They're going to be watching it from God's position of glory, not the earth's position of wrath. God's glory is different from the earth's position of wrath. From God's vantage point of glory, he's looking at the greatest harvest field ever. And they're all going to be watching it. The Lamb's seated at the right hand of God. So if they were in heaven, why would they be following him? They follow him here. He's standing with him. He says, I'm going to send you. Just like I sent my 12, I got 12 times 12 times 1,000. I'm sending 144,000 now. I'm going to send you in every nation of the earth during this time. I'm going to put a song from heaven in your heart that no man can learn. The heavens opened, they learned that song. These were a heavenly company of believers. They knew the Lord. They were standing with him. These men, now notice what the Bible declares them as. Notice this. Awesome. Verse 4, these were they which defiled with women, their virgins, and these are which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being what? First fruits unto God and the Lamb. First fruits of what? How could they be first fruits if the church was still here? You and I are not first fruits of this gospel. The early church, 2,000 years ago, were first fruits. We're final harvest fruits. Now, if the church was still here and the church had won these 144,000 and they were a product of the church's company, I believe they would not be called first fruits. They're first fruits because a dispensation had shifted. The time of the Gentiles were over. Now it's Daniel's 70th week, the final week, 1 week of 7 years being fulfilled into the earth. God's going to come back to the Jews once again, and they're going to finish the job. But it's the time that the nation's going to know him. But the first ones are going to know him as 144. They're first fruits. Say first fruits. So let's look at this just for a moment before I go any further. Let's just say these guys were in heaven here. This is midway through. So God seals them. Tell them you're not appointed to the wrath. I'm going to protect you. And then as soon as the Antichrist comes along, the devil gets thrown out of heaven. The false prophet joins them. The mark of the beast is established. And all of a sudden they die and go to heaven. I mean, what was the seal before? That as soon as Antichrist commits the abomination of desolation, walks in the temple and declares himself God, oh, it's time to die now. The seal doesn't work against him. So time to die. What would be the purpose of sealing them? They were getting sealed because they had a job to do. They were consecrated before God. And that seal was going to protect them. They learned a song from heaven. The first fruits of a much greater harvest field. So God's going to win his first fruits and then take them out. Then who's going to preach to the final 3.5 years? Who's going to preach? Well, you're on your own now. But the heathens, I mean, he's not going to do that. God's going to stretch his hand out again. A hand of mercy. A hand of love. Even for the unbelieving. But there's going to be a different, there's going to be a gospel to preach, but they have to make a choice now. The world doesn't get to go, well, I'll keep living the way I want to live and maybe I'll serve you later, God. It's kind of like me in college before I knew God. I heard those prophecies of Nostradamus and, you know, the world's going to end between 1996 and year 2000. It didn't end. But back then I thought it would, you know. 1985, I'm going to party like it's 1999. That's the way I thought. I said, well, I'll give my life around 1995, 1996. And I said, right before the judgment time, I'll escape on in. Hallelujah. This is a powerful verse. Verse 5. In their mouth was found no guile. They were without fault before the throne of God. Why would he say that? Well, if in heaven, it makes sense, but they're not in heaven. Everybody in heaven, by the way, they're without fault before the throne of God. You could not stand at God's throne in heaven and have fault in your life. You're without fault there. It's because they had an access to God's throne during this time. Everyone come boldly to the throne of grace. They have an access from the earth as his witness. They were given a song to learn by a heavenly choir. They walked in an open heaven. Like Stephen, when the heavens open, they're watching and looking all this. But they have an access to God's throne while on the earth, and they stand without fault during this 3.5 years. How else are you going to be able to survive during that time? During a time appointed to wrath, God has always removed his people from the wrath. Lot was moved out. He was appointed to persecution. But when it came time for God's wrath, he moved the righteous out. Moses was persecuted 100 years for building a boat that nobody ever even saw rain come down from heaven. He said, you're building a boat, Noah. Build me a boat. Can you imagine 100 years of building? And everybody said, what is this monstrosity you're building here? Well, it's a boat. What's it for? Well, it's going to float. On what? Well, there's going to be water that's going to come out of the sky. Water before Noah went up from the earth. It didn't come down. It was a mist. Yeah, God's going to rain down. And floods are going to come. And we're going to float on this. And we're going to collect all the animals. And who told you this? God told me. Oh, I get it. Anybody, if you want to be Noah, to go through 100 years of that? Persecution. But when it came time for wrath, he was not appointed to the wrath. He went into the ark. The animals went into the ark, and they floated on top of the wrath. So, they're without fault. They have a heavenly access to the throne. They're just like, they're marked by God. Now, watch what happens here. This is the good stuff. Angels come out. Get this picture. John's on the earth. He's looking at 144,000 with the Lord. The heavens open. He sees the heavenly choir. They're learning a song on the earth from this heavenly choir. And all of a sudden, angels get released. And they start flying in the midst of midair. It says it in the midst of heaven. With some of your translations, like the NIV, I believe, or New Living, they'll say midst of the air. Let's go to chapter 14, verse 6. Now, saw another angel fly in the midst of the air. The Amplify says, midst of the air. Some of your Bibles say, midst of heaven, midst of the air. Really what it is these angels get released and they're circling around these 144,000, flying in the midst of the air. They're circling around back and forth like this, and they've been given a message. Now, people get crazy about this, and I'm going to clear something up here. So watch what it says here. Having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. So here's what some of these scholars and people that I've read, this is some of the things they say. Well, these 144,000, they get sealed, but when the Antichrist comes along, somehow they die. They're the first martyrs. God receives them as first fruits, and then he sends this angel to preach the gospel to the world. The angels do not preach the gospel. Men preach the gospel. Angels declare and proclaim to men. It's man's job to preach the gospel. They are standing on Mount Zion of the Lord, and these angels are circling around, and he's been released, and he has his everlasting gospel, and he's proclaiming it to these 144,000. This is an ordination. It's a commission. This angel is circling around them and saying, you're about to preach the gospel. I have the gospel, the everlasting gospel, and he's heralding it to them. You're going to preach it during this last 3.5 years, and there's going to be a multitude of souls. I mean, they're getting ordained. They're getting commissioned. The Lord's standing with them. Then another angel comes. He says, Babylon, Babylon has fallen. That was another message they were going to preach. They were going to declare and decree the fall of the Babylonian system. And it falls in chapter 17 and 18. It's going to fall in the final 3.5 years. But there's one of their messages they're going to declaim. They're going to go to this last 3.5 years with the gospel. They're going to go and decree that Babylon is fallen. And then the final thing they're going to do, and I want you to look at this. Verse 9. They have a message. So the third angel gets released. And the third angel followed them. So they're all, if you can get this picture, Jesus is standing on Mount Zion. John's watching this. The heavenly choir is going. And these angels are circling them around and flying in the midst of midair. And they're having their message, declaring the message is these 144,000 are going to take to the final 3.5, to the world in the final 3.5 years. One of them is the gospel. The other one, you're going to decree the fall of Babylon. And the third angels, their message will be the warnings against taking the mark of the beast. Says, you're marked in your forehead. This is how people are going to get saved during the 3.5 years. These 144,000 are going to come. Now watch what this angel says here. The third angel followed in verse 9, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark on his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. They have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image, whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. You have to understand the Antichrist will impose that mark by force. there'd be no light in the world. The devil's been cast down to the earth. These 144 are the final light, and they're going to tell them they're marked by God. Said, you cannot take that mark, because the world's going to not only force the power of delusion, it's going to say, oh, what does it matter? God still loves you. Just take the mark. You know how people are. He loves me anyway. After all, God wants me to eat. But that's their message. You cannot take that mark. We have another mark. Look. Look at our mark. We have seen the Lord that we represent. We stood with him as eyewitnesses on Mount Zion. We bear witness of his resurrection. And you cannot take that mark. You cannot. That was their message. Receive the Lord. So, did they win anybody? Go back to chapter 7. Let's see who they won. You better know that you know that you know that you know you know him. Because you do not want to take a chance during that time. Although you'll be given an opportunity. If you don't know that you know that you know that you know him now. Nobody wants to live in those days. So, chapter 7, 1 through 4, he steals them. Chapter 5 through 8, he explains in detail. He calls 12,000 out of 12 tribes, and he lists the tribes, listing them, the 12 tribes. Now watch what happens. Let's look at verse 9. Verse 8 is the final one that got sealed was the tribe of Benjamin. Now watch what happens. Verse 9. And after this, I beheld, lo, watch this. A great multitude, say great, which no man could number. This is huge. Of all nations, say all nations, kindreds, peoples, tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and under the Lamb. So it describes all this great multitude. Who are they? Well, the elder actually asked John who these are. And I'm closing with this. Watch this. Look at verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? Who are these people, this multitude from tongues, tribes, and nations? Who are these people and where do they come from? He's asking John, hey, listen to me. If the Lord, the Father, Holy Ghost, or an elder from heaven ever ask you a question, they probably know the answer before they ask you. At least John was wise enough to say, you know it. He didn't stutter, oh, I'll tell you now. He said, you know, tell me, bring it on. He's asking, who are these multitudes? Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of what? The tribulation 7 years, the great tribulation is the final 3.5. Once devil's thrown down on the earth, that's the great tribulation. He said, these are they that came out of the great tribulation, washed their robes and made them white in blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They were martyrs. That came out of the final 3.5 years. Great tribulation. A multitude that no man could number. Who were the evangelists? The 144,000. That was their fruit. That was their message. You cannot take that mark even unto death. You cannot. And there's going to be a great multitude that no man can number out of all nations that refuse that mark. Because they're having a choice then. You have a choice. Take it or don't take it. You don't get a chance. Well, I might accept him later. You got to accept him now. Because most of the time when you accept him, when you accept the Lord during that final 3.5 years, it's either you accept him and die. That's it. It's a harsh reality, isn't it? So, well, God loves us. He does love us enough to send 144,000 because God never sends his people in the midst of wrath. He delivers them out. But these 144,000 were a very special breed of men, virgins of God, born again, stood with the Lord on Mount Zion, were appointed, commissioned, and he sent them into a harvest field with a message. You cannot take that mark. and multitudes that no man can number get pulled out of the nations. Let's give him glory. Hallelujah. Just one more verse here and I'm going to close. Go back to Revelations chapter 14. Does God love us or what? Does he love his creation? Loves them to the very end. Even in a time of wrath, he loves the world. And he sends 144,000 to the world in a time of wrath. It's just amazing. Harsh reality of these times. Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. These are after these three angels get released. Their message, they're about to get sent out. It says, herein is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep his commandments of God and faith in Christ. Revelation 14:13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Do you know what he means by that? It's going to be better for you to die in the Lord than live out any of these days. In other words, blessed are those who do not take that mark, receive the Lord, do not take that mark, and die on the spot. It's going to be better for you than live out these 3.5 years. That's a harsh reality there at that time. But we know a whole multitude that cannot be numbered. There's going to be a harvest in the middle of it all. We are not going to be there. Do you really think God's going to send his bride through that? No. We'll be caught up. For those who know him, you're going to be caught up with him. But before we get caught up, we are going to get to do what those 144,000 to do. He's going to go to the world with his Gentile church, with his present church, and then we're going to get lifted and the Jews get their witness. You get to watch. You understand that from heaven. You get to watch all this. It's a different viewpoint from there.